Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Milan Jurkovic, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Well, yes, it is, and really glad you're with us here today at New Life Live. Joining me, two people that are actually alive and well and living in California, right there, Dr. Sherry Keffer and Milan Jurkovic. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
We're doing well. How are you, Steve? Good to be with you.
Well, it's good to be with you, and if you said that and I wasn't really feeling good to be with you, I would be gaslighting. And that is a topic that is right in the middle of intimate deception, healing the wounds of sexual betrayal. If you're watching on the NRB network, I'm holding it up right there. Look at that. Intimate Deception. It's a great book by Dr. Sherry Keffer, her first. Sherry, you talk about gaslighting. What is gaslighting?
Yeah, so gaslighting. So in the world of deception, there's lots of types of lies. There's lies where somebody just bullface lies to you. You ask them a straight question, and they tell you something that's not true. Or there's the lies of omission, where you ask somebody a straight question, and they ignore telling you the truth, which is another type of lie. Then there's blame, right? Blame is pointing the finger. That's a type of lie strategy. But the type of strategy, it's called gaslighting, is a more insidious type of lying. And it's the lying that happens when somebody makes the problem that you're talking about you instead of about what they're doing. So it's a way of deceiving and hiding and then making you feel wrong and bad about their problem, and so it's a different sort of blame. It's a blame that's puts you as the target. So it came out of a 1944 movie called Gaslamp with Ingrid Bergman, where there's this gentleman that she was married to, and he was looking for family jewels in their house. And so he went up into the attic, and he was hunting for these jewels. And so he would turn, the lights would flicker on and off. And so she would notice this, and she thought, well, what's going on upstairs? But instead of him telling her outright, well, I'm trying to steal the family jewels, he actually told her, you know, you've not been feeling well lately. You don't look well.
You question their judgment, don't you?
You question their judgment. Mm-hmm. And what that does, it erodes somebody's own intuition. Mm-hmm. It erodes their sense of right or wrong, and they start feeling crazy on the inside. So I have a whole chapter on gaslighting, blames, and lies. Oh, my. So that the women and men, for that matter, can actually look at the tactics of lying and kind of keep their wits about them as it's happening, because it's important for you to hold on to yourself while you're having a lot of deception around you.
And when we challenge deception, Sherry, people, there's a backlash.
You're absolutely.
And one of those backlashes is gaslighting to put it all on you. What is the matter with you? Why would you think those things? You're way off. You're not getting this right. Just everything to just eat. Like, I love this. Erode their intuition. Yeah. I love that.
I talk about in a book a concept. It's called DARVO, and D-A-R-V-O. And it came from a woman who did some research. And she actually talks about these steps. It's denying the behavior. And then that's the D. A is attacking the one who's doing the confronting. Mm-hmm. V is, R is reversing the victim and offender. So the person actually who's doing the wrong thing becomes the victim and makes you the perpetrator, you the one that's doing the
reversal,
wrong thing.
It's a reversal, isn't it?
Yeah, so again,
isn't the gaslight analogy, maybe I'm wrong, but it's well, let's don't shine the light over here. Let's shine it over there. Let's illuminate something that's not even relevant. You're saying the problem's there. I'm going to show.
Well, that's more blame. Gaslighting makes the problem about you.
Yeah.
I did come into the weekend with an expectation to sort out probably something that couldn't be fixed.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., July 20th to the 22nd.
There is a third person in our marriage, and it's not Jesus. It's a voice that is harsh, and it's put a wall between us.
Join Steve Arterburn.
I'm going to be talking about 7 different secrets from the Mediterranean. You do these, and they lead you to a life of passion and meaning and romance and deep, intimate connection.
And Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We're going to be talking about the emotional, sexual, and relational journey that all couples go on over the course of a lifetime together.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
I really feel like we have somewhere to go and a future, and we have hope.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, so back to our gaslighting. Let's shed some light on that. So the person says to the husband, you have a sexually transmitted disease.
So the woman gets a sexually transmitted disease, and so she brings it to the husband. And the husband looks at her and says, I don't know what you're talking about. That's not my issue. You are the one that, you know, we both know what you were doing before we were married. So it becomes about her, even though he's the one that's sleeping with prostitutes.
Yeah. So is the analogy simply that that in a movie with the name Gaslight in it, the husband tried to get the woman to think she's the problem, or is it also you want to shine a light on my problem over here? Well, I'm just going to reflect that light. I'm going to shine the light back on you. This is your problem. It's not my problem.
You're right, Steve.
Is it one or both or the other?
That's a both and. It is a both and, because ultimately it becomes about the person who's the one that's really the victim, or the one that's questioning what's going on. And it's a way of somebody hiding their tracks. Mm-hmm. But it's very harmful because it's considered psychological abuse. And so I think that some people that do it, I don't think that all people that gaslight do it on purpose. I think there are some people that do it on purpose. But I think there's some people that do it as a way of covering their trails, and they don't realize how painful it is. Because we've actually talked to men that are doing this, and once they realize what they're doing, they actually feel bad. They're like, oh, I didn't realize I was doing that.
Never saw it.
Never saw it. And so just educating people on it and how harmful it is has helped. Dr. Jennifer Freid was the woman I was trying to find her name in my mind that came up with the Darvo concept. But
you know, it's also kind of the third level of deception. One level is I don't have a problem. The second level is, well, yeah, I got a problem, but you know, it's because of this, like I'm not really drinking too much. I have a cold, and I'm using this as cough syrup or something. So there's deception. But then the third level is, I don't have a problem at all. You do.
Exactly.
Have. And exactly. I'm the one that's the victim here, not you. And so naturally, you're going to think I'm crazy. Now, I got to tell you, I confronted somebody in my life one time about something that I knew was an absolute, true, horrible, horrific betrayal. And that person said to me, you need to go see a psychiatrist. You have a problem. And then I said to them, so rather than you admit the truth, you would like for me to believe that I'm crazy, that I'm insane, that I don't know what I'm talking about. You would rather me believe I'm crazy than you admit what I know to be true. And the person said, you're just crazy. You need to go see a psychiatrist.
Steve.
And of course, you know, finally the evidence was so great they could. But so I've been a part of this.
Yeah, and you were so strong to push back. That's exactly what needs to happen.
But guess what? I knew 100% I was right.
Yep.
And I pushed back. And guess what? When I hung up the phone, I questioned if I was right.
Mm,
you know,
course
I mean, I knew I was right, but it still causes you to kind of go, whoa, that was so strong. So anyway, this is a great book that illuminates the reality of gaslighting. Gaslighting gives you gas. You don't want to have gaslighting in your life, and this book will help you. It's an anti-inflammatory, and you need it. It will really help your life get better if you have been the part of somebody deceiving you and destroying the intimate connection with intimate deception. And a gift of any amount, we're going to send that book to you. Let's go to the phones. You guys, since I have no phone system here, why don't you pick out a call and we'll go to that person.
Let's go to Stan in Joplin, Missouri.
Stan, how you doing today?
On line 5.
Wonderful. How are you doing?
Doing all right. Love the song, Stand By Your Man. I love that, and so it's good to talk to you. How can we help you today?
I have a problem every time at the end of a church service. They said, would everybody stand? And I just get up, and everybody else does too.
You're the only one. You're the real Stan. Okay. My kind of humor there, buddy. All right. How can we help you today? What's going on?
The question first, and if you want background, we can go from there. The question basically I have is, a Christian who is divorced, biblically, according to Mark 10, 11, and 12, do they have the right to get remarried?
Mm-hmm. That is such a great question. So many people ask that question. And, of course, I believe it depends on the circumstance, whether you are free to marry. I'll give you an example of someone that I don't believe is free to marry. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Here's an example that I don't think a divorced person is free to marry. A man marries a woman, thinks she's going to solve all his problems, finds out marriage actually brings up new problems, and that when the adrenaline wears off, he's kind of thinking, wow, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. I thought this was going to be amazing. And so he goes and he files for a divorce. She's a believing Christian. She said to him, whatever disappointment you have, I'm here. I think we ought to work on that together. Doesn't matter. He files for divorce and divorces her. I don't think that person, under the biblical principles that I see, I don't think that person is free to marry because he didn't like what he experienced in the marriage. So I'm going to throw it over to the two divorce experts on the panel today. Myla, let's start with you. Is a person always free to remarry, sometimes free? What do you think?
The only right to remarriage, and I think the proper question is, what are the requirements for a right to remarriage? And I believe the answer is, if the offending partner was involved in immorality, then there is a right to remarriage. And that is found in Matthew 19.
Sherry, you want to weigh in on this?
Well, let me throw something out there for both of you. Because what the scripture says is, if I agree with exactly with what biblically Mylan said, but if someone divorces for any reason, whether it's adultery or something else, the question is, do we have a right to remarry? Well, let's say if somebody does remarry, it says if you remarry, you'll commit adultery. So sometimes people get remarried, and then they've got to deal with the fact that, okay, I'm committing adultery by doing this, and I need to go and work that out, confess that out, get right with God over that. So,
so you're saying that second marriage isn't a marriage, it's an adulterous relationship.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
That's
what
the way I see it.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that? That's what I'm throwing out here.
That's what it says.
It says
that's
that.
That's what the Bible says. And so then that questions the legitimacy of this question of what is that second marriage if we don't have that precondition of the marriage being violated, the marriage covenant being violated by immorality. The Bible says we can walk away from that.
Mark, the way it says, the way I've read it, I've studied on this quite a bit. I've asked a lot. My men's group, we've talked around it and stuff. you know, it's not something that I'm looking at right now. I've been divorced for 5 years. I had never had any relationships. But I feel that God calls us to be holy, not happy. And, you know, I want, before the question ever does come up, I would like to have an answer before then. And it just seems to me the way I read Mark 11 and 12, that it says, you know, it doesn't say Jesus doesn't have exceptions. Well, okay, if this happened, then okay, you can get married. I just seem to read it, and so many people they seem to have their opinion on how they, according to their circumstances. You know, if I've been remarried, people that have been divorced seem to have the opinion that they want to make themselves feel better. I don't want to make myself feel better. I don't want to make my excuses in my Christian life. I want to live it right.
I hear you. Now, here's what we have to deal with in the reality of life. I think it would be a horrible mistake, like in the scenario that I described. That doesn't fall under those classifications where we're entitled to divorce. Now, some people say no matter whether you're entitled to divorce, you know, like if the person's unfaithful, they say, well, that doesn't give you the right to remarry. Well, I understand, but, you know, it isn't prohibited to remarry if you have a justifiable reason for divorce. So there's one point of argument. The other thing is, some people say, well, if you marry and you weren't supposed to, you weren't biblically entitled, you should immediately divorce. Well, let's just say you did get married. It wasn't right for you to get married. It wasn't under those circumstances that God said would be okay for divorce, which we think allows remarriage. Now you have two children. Okay, so what are you going to do? Divorce again and put those kids through that?
Well, that's be covered under grace of God.
Yeah, yeah. So the question is, if I did that, am I, you know, condemned forever? No, because God has grace. Should I ever do something presuming upon or assuming God's grace? That's a big arrogant mistake too. So it's a complicated issue, but I do think that there are circumstances where if you want to be holy and fulfilled and your relationship is the right relationship, you're not going to remarry. You're going to stay pure. Then we get into the technicalities. Well, what about when the other person goes on and marries somebody else? And, well, sounds like to me they're not being faithful to you. They've married somebody else, and then there's the technicality that frees you up. Very complicated, but here's our big message here. Why don't you stay married, people? Because if you divorce and then you go on Match.com, they will match you back to the person you just divorced because you have so much in common. You have the same number of children, live in the same neighborhood. It's just so much better. And the research shows that if you stay married 5 years later, those that wanted to divorce but didn't are much better off, happier, more fulfilled than those that did get the divorce. And one of the great news about our intensive, which is July 20th, about 75%, if we don't help them in that weekend, they're done. And about 95% stay together. So that's a pretty powerful thing. I'm glad you called, and I'm going to send you Is This the One? And I think it's a great book for singles. And I'm going to send you the workbook, Every Man's Battle for Singles. It's the Every Single Man's Battle workbook. I'll get that out to you. And really glad that you called. Well, you're listening to New Life Live. In case you didn't know, our goal here is to provide some insight and wisdom based on the truth of God's Word. We don't quote a scripture at you at every moment. But the other thing that we love to do is get into your hands biblically-based, sound material that's going to change your life. And if you've ever been deceived, Intimate Deception is a book that's going to help you. It's all about how to heal from the wounds of sexual betrayal, A Gift of Any Amount. I'm going to send that book to you. All you have to do is call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And right before we go to this break, on April the 6th in Columbus, Ohio, we have Every Man's Battle right there in the middle of the heartland. Come join us, be part of that. And then Intimacy in Marriage is July the 20th in Washington, D.C. We talked about the Museum of the Bible. You can go there. I love the fact that the Life Recovery Bible is right there in that museum. Makes my heart sing. And then Hope for a Woman's Heart is November the 9th in Washington, D.C. also. So we love you. We care about you. We do these things, but that's not all we do. We've got counselors all over this country that can come alongside you. All you have to do is call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right, guys, what's the next caller? Who are we going to talk to right here today on New Life Live?
I think we should talk to Grace. How about Grace? Might need some Grace today here.
Yeah. Grace, are you there? How are you doing?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
Okay, well, doing okay. I didn't have a good clock, and I didn't know when that little music was going to start there. So you hold on, and when we get finished with this little break, we'll go to you, okay? Really glad you called us, and hope you'll hang on. Club New Life is one amazing way to support this ministry. $30 a month. That's a lot. It's a dollar a day. I know that. But you get discounts on everything that we do at New Life. You also get access to the video library. It's just one amazing resource. And we'll send you every book. It's $150 value in the Arterburn Wellness Series on how to understand and love somebody that's got a problem that needs love and understanding. We'll get that to you. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Last year, after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Milan Jurkovic, Dr. Sherry Keffer, and they're going to pick our next phone call. Who are we going to, guys? Who are we going to talk
Grace
to?
Grace is who we decided on. Grace.
Grace, how you doing? What's going on with you today, Grace?
I'm doing good.
Okay.
I just wanted to say I'm a supporter of you guys, and I don't know how I would have made it the last few years without you.
Oh. Well, I was just at a board meeting telling folks on our board how much it means to us when we hear exactly that, that it was the radio program that helped someone get through a very, very rough time. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. I also attended your last Healing is a Choice that was in Denver 2 years ago.
Yes.
And my son, who's 14, read your Every Young Man's Battle, and he couldn't put it down, and he said, this book changed my life.
Hmm. I love hearing that, too. So you've made my day. So how could we help you?
Well, I'm calling about my son. He's 14. He's in sixth grade. Mm-hmm. And we adopted him 5 years ago internationally when he was 9 and a half. When we brought him home, he was extremely traumatized. He was about 39 pounds. He was very small. Mm. He looked about 4 to 5 years old.
Wow.
At 9 and a half. And he was melted down for probably about 5 hours a day. Mostly at that time, I could hold him because he did lots of head banging, and but he wouldn't really hurt me. He would like punch his own self or scratch his face. And so we spent these last 5 years trying to get him help. When he got to be 12, then he became more violent, like towards me with his meltdowns. He would like try and hurt me and bruise my arms and legs and be destructive to the house, and he would trigger a lot and run away. He definitely is has been afraid of my husband. All at the same time, he developed a very, it's kind of complicated. He has all this violent behavior, but he has come to trust my husband and I very much. And he can be very, very loving. About a year ago, he was hospitalized because he planned to kill the family and then commit suicide. And he ended up getting put on an antipsychotic drug. And the first one helped a little, but not very much. But after a few months, they switched it to a different one, and that one started to help. And I was told that it's a drug that they put people on for schizophrenia and for bipolar disorder.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But they couldn't, the hospital couldn't give him any diagnosis.
Okay.
And he's doing much better, so it's been probably 9 months where he has not been extremely violent. He will sometimes still get angry and be a little destructive or run away.
All right.
So
you're going to have to get to how we can help you. So we understand, very, very troubled. What is the question for us then? Okay.
Well, now that he's doing better and he's a lot more stable, I just keep wondering all the time about, like, should I be looking into, like, what is an actual diagnosis for him? Like, why does this drug help him? Sometimes I feel like where we live, our resources are very limited.
Well, what kind of care is he getting right now other than medication?
Well, we had been on a waiting list, and it really took a long time. One thing that he does get that has really helped him so much is mentors. So we have two different agencies, and he goes with mentors like 4 times a week. He has an IEP at school. We were doing TheraPlay with a therapist, but he doesn't want to do that anymore because he feels it's too babyish.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so your question is, should you try to find out the diagnosis? Is that the big question you have?
It kind of is. I'm just wondering, like...
He has a diagnosis. There is a diagnosis. You know, where he gets help, they have to keep a record, and they put something down. I mean,
he sounds, and I'm not going to diagnose him, Grace, because you can't. We can't diagnose over the radio here. But let me tell you what he sounds like. His behavior sounds like a child who has something called reactive attachment disorder. Has anybody brought that forward to you as far as just kind of getting an idea of the help he needs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they have.
Okay.
Said about that.
All right. So that type of treatment is at this point, if he's stabilized, I'm really glad that you guys have gotten him on medication because he's not even comfortable in his own skin. And so at 12 years old, when the hormones shot into his bloodstream, whatever his brain looked like before then just got worse because of the hormones. So that makes a lot of sense to me. from a brain chemistry perspective, but I think some good attachment and bonding therapy would be really helpful to him and to you. Because he's telling you the truth. I love it. I love that your 14-year-old is saying, I don't want to feel like a baby. But if he was doing some good communication and bonding and attachment work with you and your husband, that would feel very grown up. And then he would know that he matters. Because it's not about playing with toys with somebody else. It's about bonding with you guys and feeling more safe and more connected.
All right. We'll be back right after this.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I did come into the weekend with an expectation to sort out probably something that couldn't be fixed.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., July 20th to the 22nd.
There is a third person in our marriage, and it's not Jesus. It's a voice that is harsh, and it's put a wall between us.
Join Steve Arterburn.
I'm going to be talking about 7 different secrets from the Mediterranean. You do these, and they lead you to a life of passion and meaning and romance and deep, intimate connection.
And Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We're going to be talking about the emotional, sexual, and relational journey that all couples go on over the course of a lifetime together.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
I really feel like we have somewhere to go and a future, and we have hope.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. You know, anytime you have a situation where someone is really struggling, feelings of killing themselves, somebody else, I mean, you just want to do everything you can to help. And I think medication is, it's like the only source of sanity in situations like this. But medication changes sometimes, and you just want to be sure they have all the help and care that's possible, that's available. That's just my only point there. Mylon, anything else you guys want to
Sure. Reactive attachment disorder, RAD, is what Sherry said. Definitely your son appears as though this is what we might refer to him. But what's the reaction, and what are the words attachment have to do with? And that is, as he came over here as an international adoption when he was 9 and a half, and what trauma he went through, what pain he went through before he ever arrived here, we may never know. But he needs to begin to be able to, and you need to be able to tell him his story. He needs to be able to make sense of what is going on inside of him, and to realize he's been extremely disadvantaged to be uprooted, and then we have no idea the level and the extent of the traumatization. And so that is a part of what Sherry was talking about when we talk about family work together and bonding and rebuilding the story and redefining a story so that he understands why he just is so uncomfortable. Sherry, I like the way you said it. He can't even exist in his own skin.
Yeah.
And then he's so angry, he wants to kill his family and kill himself.
Yeah.
That there's a reason for that. The brain doesn't tell itself to do that. Like you said on a call, I remember a few days ago, the brain is programmed to do that by violence, pain, traumatization to the brain, and we don't know what to do with it, especially if we're a child. So the ability to really understand attachment, the early wounds, and then the rebuilding, fortunately, the brain, and God made the brain so it's flexible, it can rebuild, it can reform around a new message. But we have to also be able to understand our story before we can change the story.
Boy, isn't that a great statement, Mylon? We have to understand it before we can change it. And, you know, I think I just ask everybody to pray for this young man and the family and everybody around there, because it's a severe, severe case. You know, this is the reality of life. It's hard sometimes. Very, very difficult, and we have no idea what people are going through.
No,
as they struggle.
And Grace and her husband did a wonderful thing.
Yeah, they did.
to help a disadvantaged child, and yet they inherited that child's history.
Yep.
And all the ramifications of that child's history.
And it sounds like they've been responsible, but as he's turning 14, it means even more responsibility is required to get into his own trauma treatment. Again, transitioning from play therapy to really sitting with a trauma specialist that can help him figure out. Because a lot of these kids don't have their stories. They've dissociated from them.
Right.
He might have some pieces, but they're behaving in ways that are very reactive. And erratic. And so he's going to be in it. You guys are in it for the long haul, right? And I would say definitely weekly deeper work with him to sort all that out.
All right. So glad that she called. Hope something we said was helpful there. All right. Let's go back to our calls. Let's see if I can pull this one up and see what we can do. By the way, we'll send How We Love Our Kids. I think that'll be a good one. And let's go over here to Margie, St. Augustine, Florida. How are you doing? What's going on? How could we help you today? We'll give it our best shot here. What's going on?
Good. Well, thank you for taking my call today. In a nutshell, I was raised by a praying mom, a good Christian woman, my brother and I, and had gotten off to a bit of a rocky start where she didn't quite find God until I was about 5. My brother was 7. So there's roots. There's roots there and a good foundation. And about 4 years ago, my brother shocked us all and decided to basically confess that he was transgender. And he had recently gotten married. They struggled to conceive. His wife had just had a baby. And he decided to come out and say, this is what I'm doing. And it has really been a struggle. He didn't leave us any choice other than you just accept this or you're not part of my life. And he did it in an extremely hateful way. His wife ended up divorcing him. She felt like she had no option. He was not interested in any sort of treatment. He had just made his mind up. And I spent about 2 years just not speaking to him, obviously very angry at the way he had treated my parents and his wife and my nephew and myself. And I've come to a place of forgiveness. It did take me a minute, but I feel compassion now, and it's been a great walk for me to go through this with my parents as far as self-growth, but I'm not sure biblically what to do next. I don't want him around my kids. I don't accept what he's doing. I have 33 years of history with my best friend, and he just completely blindsided me. And I don't want to lose that, but I also don't want to, I'm not sure how to incorporate him or if that is the right thing. He does know how I feel about the situation. He does know that I love him, that we are praying for him, that we are here for him. But he's also working through his own anger and his own issues, and I think this is his coping mechanism of I'm going to be somebody else and it's all going to go away.
So is the question simply how do you relate? How do you incorporate him into all of your life with all of your relationships?
Well, the good thing is we're on opposite coasts. He's in California. I'm in Florida, mm-hmm. so that makes it easy. The other good thing is he has never shown a ton of interest as far as being an uncle or, you know, it was kind of me that sort of held that relationship together a little bit as far as remembering birthdays and making sure we kept in touch. But I just don't want to. He's very obese. He struggles with food, an addiction to food. He struggles with an addiction to pornography.
Okay, so is the question, again, is the question, how do you respond to him? What?
Well, I feel like time is running out. I feel like
Okay, but ask me a question. I want to know the specific question you want, because we get this. This happens. It's horribly difficult. But what specifically do you want to know from it?
How do I maintain a relationship with him, being that I don't accept, I love him, but I do not accept anything mm-hmm. he's doing?
Okay. And does he accept that you have a different view of what he's done, or does he reject you?
Well, he's softened a little bit in the sense of it was kind of, I'm going to cram this down your throat, and you'll call me by a different name, and you'll identify me as a sister, and just mm-hmm. foreign stuff that took me a long time to work through. Okay. But I know he misses his family, so I know that that's there. I know that mm-hmm. he's softened to that. But
okay, so let us let's
step.
Yeah. All right. So let's see if we can give you some help here. So as she's saying this, what are you guys thinking? I mean, I certainly would have a lot of limits and restrictions on being with him, but I would want him to know I love you, I care about you, you're
right.
important to me.
Well, this may be as good as it gets.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Thanks for saying
what
that.
What you have right now, because you have an objectionable behavior, and you know, disagreeing doesn't mean you're a hater. And I say that over and over and over again. But to many people, yes, it does. If I disagree and I don't accept, then I'm a hater. I tell people like that they need to take a tolerance class so they can tolerate me having a different viewpoint. Now, I have to ask myself the question, if he were any other adult, would I want to have a relationship with him? If he were any other adult, a next-door neighbor, a guy down the street, girl down the street, whatever, would I want to have a relationship with him? If so, how much do I want to let him into my life? So that's a basic question you have to ask. And then there is dutiful, obligatory relationship, which perhaps at the holidays you give him a call or something like that. But I think this may be as good as it gets.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad? Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and Dr. Sherry Keffer has moved on, and she has to head out, and got a little doctor's appointment there. That happens. Reality happens to us sometimes on the program.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to say this, and I know many of you realize how much more common situations like this are.
Mm-hmm.
And that every one of them is different. There's a different flavor, a different attitude. They're all different and difficult. Milan said to her, I think this is about as good as it gets, or it could be. I mean, he's a very troubled person. He's obese. She doesn't want the children to be influenced by him. She also doesn't want to give the children the impression that, well, this is something that gives us the right to hate someone or totally reject that person. But Milan, your advice was this may be as good as it gets. And I think that answer is as good as it gets as far as an answer goes. There's no verse here, you see, that fixes things. There's no amount of prayer that fixes things. Now, if we had received a phone call from a single woman who had a transgendered or a brother dealing with transgender issues, totally different answer. I would be saying to her, "Hey, if it's not irritating to be a part of his life, you know, yeah, have him over, have dinner, talk with him, see what's struggling." But that's not the situation. This woman has a family. And the family is the priority. And Milan asked a really, really great question, you know. If you're not related to this person, what would your involvement be? Because she is related. She wants the best. But, you know, she is not responsible here for that person. And then I know Milan thought my question was just as brilliant as his, but it was, does he accept you?
Right.
And I think this is not brilliance, but it is an important thing that sometimes we have to reflect back. Wait a minute. You want me to accept you, but you don't accept me. You don't accept the way I was raised and then the values that I rejected and then accepted, and then that's who I am. And so it does really work both ways. But I want to tell you something. I have such compassion for anybody dealing with issues like this. Oh, my goodness. What that must be like in this world to struggle with, am I a man or am I a woman? Am I female? Am I male? But I want to tell you something. I was listening to Hugh Hewitt the other day,
mm-hmm.
and he was talking about one of the things that the left of the world try to eliminate, and that is the distinctives that God has laid out from the very beginning.
Right.
These are very important distinctives. The distinctive between man and God. You're not God. And how many times do we hear people saying, you are God or you could become God? Man and animal is a distinctive set out by God. And yet, Do you know what the folks at PETA said to him as a Jewish man? Said, barbecuing a chicken is no different than Hitler sending the Jews into the gas chamber. Because, see, it's just an animal is just as valuable as a human being. What a horrible thing. See, that's the distinctive. And then the distinctive between man and woman. That's a God-given distinctive. And so the folks that are out to destroy our society and our Christian values, and here's what he said. He said, if Christianity dies, the United States of America dies. That came from a Jewish man. There are distinctives right there in the Old Testament that we need to pay attention to. And if we are Bible believers, those who don't abide by those distinctives need to respect our values and what we believe. And it doesn't eradicate the amount of concern and compassion that we have, whatever issue they're going through. Life is hard, more difficult than I ever imagined. Well, that's about all we have time for here. And I just hope and pray, whatever you're going through, that you'll realize something. 30 years ago, we started a ministry, and we had three words that were the foundation of everything we were going to do: truth, transformation, and connection. Now we talk about true truth. Not just truth, but how you interpret that and share it with others. Is it the way God intended? That's our big question. True truth. And the connection we refer to as redemptive relationship, because you can be connected to a lot of sick things. And then the transformation, we refer to that as transformation. It's just what it is. Oh my goodness. To see a person go from self-obsession, self-doubt, ridicule, abusive nature, to breaking and transforming. It's just wonderful. We've seen people go from callous to remorseful, and we've seen people go from a restraining order to saying, you know, whatever I have to do to heal this rage within me, I'm going to do it. It all happens because you support us. There are two ways that you can support this ministry. One is a one-time gift. Any amount, I will send you Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal. That's our gift to you, our way of saying thank you. The other way is to become part of Club New Life. Club New Life, it's the foundation of everything that we do. And we're really focusing on our 30th anniversary. It's $30 a month. That's all it costs, $30 a month. But for some, that's a lot. But when you do, I'll send you $150 worth of books out of the Arterburn Wellness Series. Maybe you have somebody that you need to understand and love who's depressed or who's borderline or post-traumatic stress, or maybe it's addiction. I don't know. But we've got something for you here. And that's our way of saying thank you. And then our new video library that we're building, it's going to be fantastic. Every one of these videos, brand new. I was just watching one the other day. It is amazing how much information we're getting into these videos. New stuff that you've not seen before. If you want to become part of Club New Life, and you get discounts on the workshops, you even get discounts on the trips. Go on a cruise with us, you get a discount if you're part of Club New Life. Would you call right now? 1-800-NEW-LIFE, $30 a month. And then we have the New Life Wall of Transformation. We put your name right up there, or the name of someone you want there. And that says to the world, this is a person that believes in transformation. This is a person that believes in God's truth, the power to transform someone in a redemptive relationship. So, two ways, and you find out about them at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, there are 1,000 different problems you may be struggling with. And I would just imagine that no matter what it is, we have a resource for you. Could be a video, a CD. It could be a book, a booklet. Could be a fact sheet. Could be a download. Could be a counselor in your area. It also might be one of our workshops that we do, like Take Your Life Back this weekend. Man, if you're struggling, you don't know what the answer is, go to that. But we've got the resources for you, but you have to call us. No one's laid it on our heart to pick your number to call. But you call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, let us help you. Don't forget to go see the movie, I Can Only Imagine. It's a good one. Thanks, Mylan. God bless you. Thanks to all of you. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.